Welcome to Let's Talk Learning Disabilities with Lori Peterson and Abby Weinstein. Lori and Abby spend their days talking about dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, and ADHD. They talk to parents of struggling students and adults who have had a lifetime of academic challenges. They want to share those stories along with their own insights with you. So, let's talk learning disabilities.
Everybody, this is Lori with Let's Talk Learning Disabilities, and welcome to episode number 58. Today, we are finishing our conversation with Melanie Florsham, where we talk all about dyslexia and the right kinds of treatments for dyslexia, the right kind of programs. If you missed episode 57, you'll want to go back and listen to that first so you can hear the first half of our interview. And if you've already listened to that episode, stay tuned for more amazing information with Melanie Florsham. Can you talk a little bit about the benefits of early intervention and when is the right time to start dyslexia therapy for a child? Like, when is too early? When is too young? Is there a sweet spot of when to start?
Okay, so that's a load. Question. That could be a podcast all by itself.
I know.
Okay, but I'll give you just a little bit. Okay, so.
And is there a sweet spot that's too old? Add that onto it too.
Okay, so when we talk about intervention, the intervention that we're doing is reprogramming, rerouting your brain circuitry, your pathways, so you can process more efficiently. Okay, so if we think about that, and you think about your brain development, your brain is more, and I never can say this word correctly because I'm dyslexic too, but the plasticity.
Good job.
Ooh, I did it. Good. The plasticity of your brain is more
plastic.
Yes, thank you. Plastic and moldable and you know, reroutable at an earlier age than at an older age. Okay. So way back when, you know, we don't test kids till they're in third grade.
Right.
Okay. Well, they were in therapy for a long time, a lot of times, because their brain just had already had beaten paths in it. Mm. And it was really hard to kind of create some detours and, oh, let's try this new pathway to process language. And so what they found out as research goes on, you know, we need to start earlier. It's their brain will take to the therapy better and faster and easier. And you might even have better long-term results. Okay. So early intervention is better. So therefore, we have to screen earlier, right? And that's where, you know, the state of Texas has done early screening maybe 5 years, I think it's been.
Yeah.
And K and 1 and 2 grades, like, they have screening, and there's like an approved list of screenings. And we need to screen kids because we need to figure out, are there gaps that we need to fill? Or are these precursors to a reading disability? Because if we can catch it early, maybe we can turn it around where, I don't know, maybe they don't have to do full intensive therapy. Or maybe we remediate and then, like, they catch their snap and they're on their way and it's not a disability. It's just, you know, we made it work. Or it is a disability because there's a family history there. There are certain characteristics that we would see in younger kids, and they're hitting all of them. Okay, well then, yeah, we need to start therapy. They are dyslexic. Well, but what do we do? Because, you know, the curriculum starts more at like second grade or third grade. It can be harder for our younger kids. So we do phonological awareness curriculum. Scottish Rite Hospital, they have a great curriculum with Take Flight called Pre-Flight. They've come out with a K-1 called Build, and it is a new curriculum that gets those kids going into Take Flight very well, okay? Then we have, like, MTA has Soundations, and they have a lot of phonological awareness curriculum things. Sorry, things is not the best word, but, you know, so the curriculums provide the phonological awareness piece mm-hmm. that we really do need to start with when they're K-1, even second grade, before we even get into more of the letters and sounds and, you know, concrete mm-hmm. alphabet letters. So it really depends on what you're looking at. Right. Again, it's prescriptive, it's individualized. And so, you know, and that's where it's not a set of guidelines. It is diagnosing, it's knowing how to read all of that and find the strengths and weaknesses, and then prescribing, being very prescriptive and direct and systematic mm-hmm. and hitting those places that need to be hit.
Right.
But you do have to start at the beginning. You can't just brush over the phonological awareness piece, because that's foundational. Mm-hmm. That's the cognitive skills they're lacking.
Right.
Because if you don't do that, you're going to make that curriculum even harder, and it's not going to stick as well.
So even adults
can do it.
I mean, we here, where we evaluate students and clients, we see a lot of adults that come thinking they have dyslexia. They've struggled with reading their whole life.
Spelling,
writing. And, you know, maybe they're my age. Maybe they're a little bit older, 40s, 50s, 60s. It wasn't as prevalent. It wasn't diagnosed as readily. Maybe they received special services in school, but they didn't know what it was. They just said, I had some kind of learning disability. I was in special ed. Or I've never had special services and I've always struggled with reading. And now I want to go back to school and I need help. Anyway, we diagnose a lot of adults with dyslexia, but there are fewer resources out there for adult dyslexia therapy programs, adult literacy programs. So can those curriculum programs, or are there programs that are geared towards older individuals, is there still hope for them to make progress and learn those skills and rewire their brains?
Yes. So you're right that there isn't just a ton of stuff out there, but the need is being heard. And I know, like Scottish Rite, they are developing something for high school students, could be used probably for adult.
Cool.
I don't know all the ins and outs of it, but I do know that it's coming mm-hmm. very soon. So they're hearing that there is a need. But here again, what I've been taught and what I have come to believe for myself is the curriculum that we have can be used for adults. If an adult gets diagnosed later in life and they want to get better with their reading and writing, it's that mantra. It's we're going to go as fast as we can with what we can go fast on, and then we're going to hang out in those areas where we need to slow down and really develop whatever it is that we're trying to develop. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there is out there kind of an accelerated, you know, track with some of the curriculums. I've used it, and it works really well. The reading can progress greatly in a very short amount of time because the cognitive ability to learn is there,
mm-hmm.
and you have kind of a little bit more of a maturity with an older
right.
person, so they
maybe
get
more
it.
Motivated.
They're not as resistant sometimes as some of our middle school, high school kids can be, college kids can be, because it feels babyish, because
mm-hmm.
it does feel babyish.
Right.
But there is a therapy behind it,
right,
you know,
it
like
works.
There's science behind it,
mm-hmm.
and this is how we have to do it. So even if we have a curriculum for high school and adults and on, it's still going to be the basic. It's basically going to be like what we do with our little
mm-hmm.
kids. It just might look a little bit more mature
right.
and not have like an apple. You know, maybe
yes.
we'll have a different keyword than apple
uh-huh.
and our deck cards will maybe have more realistic pictures than cartoon pictures.
Right.
I mean, because the therapy is
yeah.
the therapy.
And, right, the skills
you
are the skills, yeah.
You can't take away from the therapeutic piece that Orton Gillingham discovered well before we had functioning MRIs.
Right.
Right? And it worked back then.
Mm-hmm.
Now we just have the science and the ability to prove, oh yeah, it really does work. Because
yeah.
look. you know, and so that's not going to change. What I do, and you know, I'm sure it's debatable a little bit about what we've chosen to do at Gateway, but we do the accelerated piece. We, with a curriculum that we have, if we start to see like they know all this stuff, but they're still struggling with their reading, we start to look at, okay, is it more, do we need more rate practice? Do we need more comprehension practice? Do we need to just fine tune some of our strategies with how we attack words? There is a program out there. Can I name the program? Mm-hmm. It's called Rewards by Voyager Sopris, I think is how you say it. And it has an intermediate and a secondary level curriculum. It is not a therapeutic. It's not Orton-Gillingham. It is not dyslexia therapy, okay? It is a remediation for like middle school, high school kids who aren't reading well, mm-hmm. okay? And they need something. If someone has had dyslexia therapy in their past and they get to middle school and high school and kind of hit a wall, it could possibly be a great resource, okay? The way that I like to use it is I like to use it in conjunction with the dyslexia therapy program that we use. And it, get them on the accelerated track, go as fast as we can, but then also alongside do the rewards. The rewards has a lot of components that reflect therapy, but it is not therapy. But because I'm a therapist and I know how I can interject some of the therapeutic pieces, mm-hmm. I can do that. I have seen incredible. I had one kid come to me and he was at a dyslexia school here in our area. He was a junior. He was trying to get ready for accommodations for his SAT and ACT. He had been at this school forever, okay? So he had had multiple dyslexia therapies, but he was still reading at a sixth grade reading level, okay? And he's in 11th grade.
Wow.
So he comes to me and I do this program and we interject therapeutic pieces in it. He's like, oh yeah, I remember that. Oh yeah, I used to do that. And I'm like, yeah, see, this is, you know, this is good. So it's a 20 lesson, might be 25 lessons, I can't remember. We do it. He goes and does his testing for his accommodations and he came back super, super pissed at me. And I'm like, oh, dude, no. What's the problem? I helped you. He's like, yeah, you tested me out of all, you got me out of all my accommodations now. Oh, no. He's like, now all I get is extended time. That's it.
Now I can read.
Yeah,
now
I'm like, and he could, like his grade level significantly increased.
That's awesome.
And I'm like, and you're mad at me about that?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, then I'll just have a party by myself because I'm super thrilled for you.
Super thrilled.
But, you know, he's gone on and, you know, and it doesn't work like that for everyone. He had had a significant background in therapy. You know, who knows if what I did really, really worked? I mean, I think it did because it showed it did. But it is a tool that can be used.
Yeah.
Right?
It's almost like you tied up all the loose ends.
Yes, because he already had therapy. So when we have a kid that comes with us who hasn't had therapy, my focus is to make sure, like to give them the therapy. I am not being ethically right to not give them the therapy when they come to me with a dyslexia diagnosis. Mm-hmm. But if we go fast through that therapy because they've mastered it and they're really showing me they can do it, and we're really seeing that their weakness is more orthographic and more spelling and more rate than accuracy. Okay, well, there's different therapeutic things to do for that. But I have to make sure as a therapist that they are getting the therapy.
Right.
And it's in fidelity with the program.
That's great.
Then if you supplement and enhance, there's nothing wrong with that. Mm-mm. But I cannot just do the rewards. It's not therapeutic.
Right. So that's great to know. I mean, that's great news for everyone that regardless of what age you are, if you've been diagnosed with dyslexia,
there's help.
There is help. And you can make good progress.
But you want to make sure that, especially for those of you that aren't in our area, that if you're working with a therapist, that they are taking into account your age and your experiences and what you've been exposed to thus far, and not just dropping you in day one, book one, set one of some kid, and you're going to sit down as a 40-year-old to do A, Apple, A, because that's probably not mm-hmm. the best use of your time. There's probably a more efficient way to do that and still get the therapeutic benefits.
Right. Yeah. And that's why I'm a therapist.
Exactly.
And I love that. And that's what I was told in my training, you know, be a therapist.
Yeah.
They equipped me at SMU. They equipped me very, very well to do what I do. And that was kind of the sending off message. You're a therapist now, so be a therapist. Mm-hmm. But you have to know, this is my sidebar, you have to know what you're doing to be a therapist.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
That's the difference between me now and me when I taught in the classroom, mm-hmm. feels like billions of years ago, right? And that's the difference. And it doesn't mean I'm better than the regular ed classroom, because I'm not, right? But I have a focus and a specialty mm-hmm. and a niche that I didn't have before. I knew about phonological awareness mm-hmm. before.
Yeah.
I knew about phonics.
Right.
I knew about rate and accuracy.
But did you know how the brain processed it?
But I didn't understand how to implement and carry out the instruction in a powerful way. And I didn't understand the impact on the brain. And I didn't understand how it all works together to make someone a proficient reader and speller.
Mm-hmm. God, I feel like we could talk all day.
We could talk all day.
And actually, we spent about an hour talking before this. So
this is, I think this is so exciting. I think this is great news. I think that we see a lot of parents that ask, you know, my child is already seeing a tutor that they love. I hear that a lot. We've just, say, recently, for example, diagnosed their child with dyslexia, and they already see a tutor that they like, and they work on reading a little bit and math a little bit and spelling and writing. I think what we've heard from Melanie today is the crucial aspect of proper dyslexia intervention is to find a certified dyslexia therapist that is using one of those research-based curriculums or a combination of research-based curriculums that are geared towards teaching the individual the way dyslexics learn best.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if parents have specific questions for you, what is the best way for them to reach you? Because I know that this would generate a lot of questions just between Abby and I, mm-hmm. so I can't imagine what other people might be thinking. So if somebody has a question, what's the best way to get with you?
So my website, it's www.gatewaygrowth.net, or they can email me at Melanie, M-E-L-A-N-I-E, at gatewaygrowth.net.
And we'll put all that in the show notes too, just to be safe.
Yes.
Thank you for being here. Thanks for helping us kick off 2023.
Thank you. It was fun. I still have so many things I could share, but
I know.
I would love to listen to more that you have to say.
I know. We'll bring you back around.
I think it's great what y'all are doing, and I think you are empowering parents who, when they get that diagnosis, it can feel scary mm-hmm. and lonely, but you're giving them hope and you're giving them information to empower them to get what their kid needs.
Right. Absolutely.
There's lots of great teachers out there, lots of great tutors, and lots of great therapists.
One last question I forgot before we go. Talking about resources for parents and hope and the gift that is dyslexia. If you had to recommend one book for a parent that has a newly diagnosed child with dyslexia, or even a young adult that's been newly diagnosed with dyslexia, what would you recommend?
So I would recommend Sally Shaywitz's book, Overcoming Dyslexia.
Yeah.
And it's funny because when I started my therapy training, she had come out with the book. I guess it maybe been about 3 years, and it was maybe 2 inches, inch and a half thick. Now she's updated it and it is like 5 inches thick. Like it is like a manual, but it just grows. It goes to show how much even more we're finding out and what really is coming available out there and working. And so hands down, anything Sally Shaywitz, I would, Overcoming Dyslexia. It's easy to read. It has tons of resources, but it tells you about the neurology and the science,
which is important,
behind the disability.
Okay. That's great to know. Thank you. Thank you so much, Melanie.
Thank you
for being here. Thanks, everybody. If you guys have any questions for us or have any suggestions for upcoming episodes, let's talk learning disabilities at gmail.com. Abby, what's our website?
Our podcast website is ltldpodcast.com. You can find all of our different episodes linked there. You can also find categories that you can search different episodes by categories.
So stay tuned for more episodes in our series on interventions. We'll be back in a few weeks. Hope everyone had a great new year, and we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for joining us today. In our show notes, you can find information about today's talk, as well as links to resources and other episodes. If you have questions about today's talk, have ideas for future episodes, or just want to stay connected, you can contact us through Diagnostic Learning Services on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram. So, let's keep talking learning disabilities. This podcast is sponsored by eDiagnostic Learning. You can find more information at www.ediagnosticlearning.com.